Today's podcast sponsor is Barnard Medical Center, telehealth services from the comfort and safety of your own home.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 85, Cultivating Happiness in Stressful Times. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of this podcast and website, Ordinary Vegan. And I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, the environment, and animal welfare. My goal is to keep you in tip-top shape and at the same time decrease our impact on climate change and protect the animals who are bred into existence for food and have to suffer under inhumane conditions. Hope all of you are staying well and safe. I have to admit, I have been a little unfocused lately and a little distracted. Of course, I'm not beating myself up about it because of the times we are all living in right now. That's why I wanted to dedicate today's podcast on self-care, because it is so important not only to maintain a healthy relationship with our body, we also need to take care of our mind and soul by engaging in activities that promote well-being and reduce stress. So I hope that some of these science-backed self-care tips provided today can help you. Before we talk about today's topic, I wanted to share an important new study on dairy and breast cancer. It was commissioned by the National Cancer Institute at the National Institutes of Health and the World Cancer Research Fund. The study was based on 52,795 adult women over the course of 7 years. All participants filled out a detailed food questionnaire, and some were selected to provide further 24-hour food recalls and urine samples over the course of the study to ensure accuracy. At the conclusion of the study, 1,057 participants had developed breast cancer. What they all had in common was the consumption of cow's milk. What the researchers found was a dramatic increase in breast cancer with as little as a quarter cup to one-third cup of milk a day. Women who reported drinking 8 ounces of cow's milk a day increased their risk of breast cancer by 50%. And those who consumed 2 to 3 glasses of cow's milk escalated their risk by up to 80%. While this study doesn't prove cow's milk causes cancer, it does suggest that cow's milk could contribute to breast cancer. Researchers also found that the greatest benefits of soy milk in relation to breast cancer may not now be the soy itself, but the exclusion of the dairy. This isn't the first study that connects cow's milk with cancer. There have been associations with cow's milk in hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian cancer. And remember the China study, where Dr. T. Colin Campbell could actually turn cancer on and off with the main protein of cow's milk called casein. Bottom line, cow's milk and cow's cheese is one of the worst things you can put in your body. Not only does it play a role in cancer, cow's milk has residuals from a slew of steroid hormone drugs, including estrogen and testosterone, and their synthetic versions to make animals grow faster and convert their food into muscle more efficiently. They also use a bovine growth hormone called RBGH to increase milk production. And when the cows get sick, which they often do because of the horrendous conditions they live in, they are giving antibiotics, which also end up in the milk you drink or the cheese you eat. As we learned in podcast number 82, Hormonal Imbalance, Causes and Treatment with Dr. Neil Bernard, hormones play an important role in the body and can affect everything from infertility, thyroid conditions, premenstrual syndrome, and hormonal cancers. Another thing I wanted to mention is dental floss. Some new studies are suggesting that dental floss could contain toxic chemicals called PFAS. According to the EPA, which is the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, PFAS are very persistent in the environment and in the human body, meaning they don't break down and they can accumulate over time. There is evidence that exposure to PFAS can lead to adverse human health conditions, including weakening the immune system, which we don't want to happen right now. They can also increase cholesterol. Some brands of dental floss include PFAS to make the floss glide better through your teeth. But some brands are actually advertising that they are PFAS-free. And I will include a link to those flosses in this week's podcast. Thanks to Consumer Lab for that information. Now, let's talk about coronavirus grief and happiness. Yesterday, as I was checking comments made on a tofu recipe I posted on Facebook, I noticed that a couple of people got into a heated debate about tofu, and it became really negative and personal. And I was like, what? Are we really arguing about tofu? Of course, once I thought about it, I knew it wasn't about tofu. It's about how so many of us are feeling today. Many of us are experiencing overwhelming feelings of frustration, sadness, distress, sorrow, and grief. Because grief is the response to loss, and COVID-19 has taken so much from so many. And even if you don't personally know anyone who has been stricken with COVID-19, you're likely to still have those feelings of grief because for months, our world has been turned upside down. Nothing is easy and nothing is the same. Among other things, the pandemic has transformed our homes into makeshift offices, schools, and fitness centers. We are missing out on milestones like weddings, graduations, vacations. Even simple get-togethers with friends and family are so difficult because they could possibly pose a risk to our health. So, I know it's not about the tofu. Anger is often fueled by stress, and I only know about my own experiences living in the United States, but we are a mess here. We haven't made the great strides in containing the virus like Italy and New Zealand. The irony of this is that the U.S. State Department warned Americans on March 19th not to travel anywhere abroad because of the coronavirus pandemic. They didn't want us to bring it back to the United States. Now it's the other way around. Other countries don't want their citizens traveling to the United States or for U.S. citizens to travel to their countries because of the large amount of cases of COVID-19 in the United States. But one of my favorite things about this podcast is that we reach people all over the world, and I would love to hear from people in other countries about their experience with living in this pandemic and if life is getting back to semi-normal. Please let me know, and I will share your thoughts on the podcast. Also, anybody from the United States. At any rate, according to a 2019 global study, people around the world are becoming more angry and stressed. Of the 150,000 people interviewed in over 140 countries, a third said they suffered constant stress, while one in five experienced anger every day. Latin American countries, including Paraguay, Panama, and Guatemala, topped the list of people being the least stressed and had the highest positive experiences. In Chad, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Iraq, and Iran had the most negative experiences and were the most stressed. But despite Chad's high score of negative experiences because of their everyday struggle to afford food, people in the United States and Greece were more stressed than Chadians. According to this poll, around 55% of U.S. adults said they were stressed, and Greece topped the most stressed population with 59%. What is interesting to me is that that poll claims that the Latin American countries that topped the list of highest positive experiences is reflective of the cultural tendency in Latin America to focus on life's positives. So that got me really interested in trying to find out their secrets so I could share them with you and hopefully bring down our stress levels. And what I found was there were tons of articles and studies about the Latin view of positivity over the years and happiness in general and how we can achieve it. What I found the most interesting was there were a few distinct themes to finding happiness in stressful times, and I'm going to share those with you today. But before we do, I would like to thank this week's podcast sponsor, the Barnard Medical Center. The Barnard Medical Center combines medical care with the latest advances in prevention and nutrition to help create a healthcare plan designed just for you. They have a team of board-certified physicians, nurse practitioners, and registered dietitians who provide state-of-the-art medical care and are available via telehealth to help treat and prevent diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, or other chronic conditions. Use their telehealth services to receive medical care from the comfort and safety of your own home. Telehealth appointments are currently available for residents of California, New York, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, Missouri, Massachusetts, Arizona, and Colorado. To set up your first appointment, call 202-527-7500. Take control of your health today and call them at 202-527-7500. They also have a 21 vegan Kickstart app, and I will put that link in today's show notes. Thank you, Barnard Medical Center. Now, let's talk about some happiness studies. In 2017, a study was released called the World Happiness Report. And what they found is that countries that experience significant economic growth, such as the United States and China, suffered declining levels of happiness. Latin America, on the other hand, was an outlier, meaning Latin America had much different results. What the study also revealed was the Latin cultures value happiness and personal satisfaction more than any other culture. For many Latin Americans, friendship, religion, or family relationships are more important than standard of living, education, work, or housing. Social networks are also very strong in that region. Friendship is one of the greatest things in life for a Latin American. Its average value is nearly 7 times his or her income. Social interaction with family members or the community are also a pillar of Latin American lives. Having someone to count on has a big impact on happiness and provides purpose and meaning to people's lives. And social connections are very important for physical and mental health. They also have a better work-life balance and strong community involvement. By the way, the number one country in Latin America for happiness was Costa Rica, somewhere I have always wanted to go. Now, let's fast forward to the World's Happiness Report from March 2020, which was much more elaborate and explored environments like social environments for world happiness, cities for world happiness, and how the environmental quality affects our happiness. For example, happiness in cities versus rural life. Despite the image of rural life being more closely knit, fewer people in rural areas than in cities say they have relatives or friends they could count on to help them when they were in trouble. Also, the opportunities to meet new people and make friends is best in high-income cities. The report also looked at pollution levels, climate, and temperatures. People were asked about their emotional state, which was coupled with environmental data like being close to waterways and green spaces, air quality, noise levels, and weather conditions. What they found was even short-term exposure to green natural environments improve mental well-being, reduce stress, and give rise to positive emotions. As far as happiest countries, Finland was number one, followed by Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, Norway, the Netherlands, Sweden, New Zealand, and Austria. Four of the six factors used by the report to explain a country's happiness are different aspects of the social environment. They include having someone to count on, having a sense of freedom to make key life decisions, generosity, and trust. The report looks at how inequality plays in a person's happiness and how good social environments can help to mitigate the effects of inequality. The report also explores why the Nordic countries are among the happiest in the world. One of the reasons brought up is that Nordic countries are renowned for their welfare state model with extensive social benefits. The welfare state is a form of government in which the state protects and promotes the economic and social well-being of the citizens based upon the principles of equal opportunity, equal distribution of wealth, and public responsibility for citizens unable to take care of themselves. Another study that stood out to me was a Harvard College study where scientists began tracking the health of 268 Harvard sophomores in 1938 during the Great Depression. After following the surviving men for nearly 80 years, they found that embracing community helped these people live longer and be happier. At any rate, in all these studies, the theme for a happier life was connection, good friends, involvement with your community, having people you can rely on, and staying as close to nature as you can. I was listening to another podcast the other day, and she had a guest on named Eric Adams, a vegan, a former policeman, politician, and a leading voice on healthy food consumption in schools and access for healthy food everywhere in New York City. At any rate, he was telling a story about how he invites people from all over his community to just have a coffee and sit and talk and learn about their cultures and their family life. He stresses how important that is to make that connection and really makes him grow as a person. It inspired the host, who had been living across the street from an Indian family for 10 years, but never really had a long conversation with them, to walk across the street and invite the family to dinner. It really made me think about how I have lived next door to a neighbor for 25 years, and we have never sat down and just talked about life. And that conversation inspired me to begin making a list of what I'm going to do and who I'm going to reach out to and invite to coffee when it is safe to do so. And even though I have done a lot of volunteer work over the years, I have never done anything directly related to my community. So I decided to do some research, and here are some ideas on how we can get more involved in our community if you haven't done so yet. you could volunteer to a local organization, whether it's a youth group, a seniors home, or an animal shelter. There are tons of local organizations that you can volunteer for. I didn't really know that. You can attend community meetings. It's a great place to meet people from your neighborhood, and it builds feelings of belonging to the place that you call home. You could organize a cleanup with your neighbors on apps like Nextdoor. You could start or join a community garden. You could be a volunteer for your city or police department. They use volunteers for local events and basically to give assistance to victims of crime. A lot of cities now have food banks. I have a relative who volunteers, and she is nervous about getting sick from COVID-19, so she is in charge of directing traffic, so she doesn't have much contact with others. In other words, if there is a will, there is a way. The next theme for happiness was good friends and people you can rely on. I think the easiest way to make new friends is to join something you feel passionate about, and you'll be with like-minded people. Right now, most of that stuff is being done online through Zoom, but it is still being done just in a different way. There are online knitting groups, online book clubs, online gardening, and many more hobbies. It is also so important to keep our old friends. Everyone is struggling, and if someone forgot your birthday or said something stupid, forgive them. We need each other, especially going into the future. The last theme for happiness that kept popping up was trying to find a way to stay close to nature. I personally live about an hour from the ocean. This week, I made a trip there. The trip was only 35 minutes because one of the silver linings about COVID-19 is that it has wiped out traffic here in LA. At any rate, the beaches are massive here, so it was so easy to avoid anyone. So I went for a walk on the boardwalk, and I sat on a bench and stared at the ocean. When I went home, I felt so much better. I was energized, and I promised myself to take that trip at least once a week. Most people don't live near beaches, but many cities have urban retreats where you can just walk around and be in nature. Better yet, maybe you live in a more natural environment where you can just go outside and connect. Or bring nature home by planting a garden. You can bring nature inside with flower bulbs. I love paper whites, and they're easy to grow inside. You can also do daffodil bulbs. Place them all over your home. Or always have a book about nature by your side, like On Walden Pond by Henry David Thoreau, or The Hidden Life of Trees. Look deep into nature, and you will understand everything better. That quote is from our favorite vegetarian, Albert Einstein. That is it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for your kind emails and comments. I really appreciate it, and it inspires me to work harder to keep you safe and well. I hope today's podcast inspires you to cultivate happiness. For recipes and exclusive content, follow me on Instagram at Ordinary Vegan and join our Facebook group, over 300,000 strong. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan, and we also have a group at facebook.com/groups/ordinaryvegan. Additionally, you can find my new book, The Easy 5-Ingredient Vegan Cookbook, and all my vegan organic CBD products made from hemp on my website. Thank you to Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Dr. Neil Bernard, and the Bernard Medical Center for sponsoring today's podcast. Also, please share this podcast so our community can grow. And if you have time, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The more reviews we receive, the better chance of spreading the compassion, one plant-based meal at a time. Stay safe, stay well. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.